Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Winning cures everything. Now for your hosts, Gary and Chris.
Good morning. Sunday morning, I am struggling. I'm Gary.
I'm Chris.
We are later than usual, but for those of you that are hopping in on the live feed, we appreciate you being here this morning. I was up all night with a sick wife. So I am not at 100%, but luckily Chris is, and he will be fired up about some of the stuff that went down yesterday. Lots of interesting stuff happened. It was a little chalky early, and then it was not at the end of the night.
Yeah, so, you gotta read the tea leaves of how the day's going, and I felt like everything kind of went the way I needed it to go and had a pretty good day yesterday.
It was not too shabby. Of course, you can find us over at winningcureseverything.com. All of our videos, previews, picks, podcasts, social media platforms, etc., are over there. So go over there, check it out, winningcureseverything.com. You can see all of our gambling picks from yesterday. We had some hits and some not hits. So we've already got several people in the chat. We appreciate you guys hopping in. Of course, look, William jumps in, and I will read this one right off the bat. I'm not going to read every comment today, but he said, it is survive in advance, and he's 100% right now. That's Oregon, of course, did not survive in advance. Pac-12 at night always produces craziness. We'll chat about all of those games along with the biggest ones. The show always brought to you by Tunica, Mississippi, the South's premier sports gambling destination. They got six incredible sports books. You can find more information on them over at tunicatravel.com. As far as the show, if you're on YouTube, hit that subscribe button. Hit the like button on the video. Make sure you comment. Tell us what you're thinking about what happened yesterday. If you are on anything else, go over to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe to that. Leave a nice 5-star review. We, of course, always appreciate the support on the show. Those reviews help out a ton. So if you subscribe and leave a review, that helps us out with Apple's algorithm. And yeah, we need that to be able to get in front of even more people, make this community even bigger. So we appreciate you guys doing that. Chris, let's go on and start off with the Pac-12 After Dark game. Does that sound all right?
Sure.
Let's talk about Arizona State 31, Oregon 28. Oregon is now no longer a one-loss team. You cannot go and lose at Herm Edwards Bunch. And you like you said, the whole day felt chalky.
Yep.
You knew something was going to go crazy. And I'll tell you this. It took me a little while to get to a TV. I didn't get to a TV until it was 24-7 Arizona State.
Ooh, you missed a lot of football then.
So we had to go out for a friend's birthday last night. I thought, okay, like all the good games are early. Once Georgia and Texas A&M got done, Navy SMU got done, we headed downtown, or we started getting ready, and then we went downtown. And, man, I get to a TV when it's 24-7, and then I see Oregon, slowly but surely, starting that comeback. And I was just floored at how Arizona State could not hold on to that lead. But even still, I don't think Oregon got dominated. So even coming back at the end of the game, it did not look good for them, did not look good for the Pac-12. We got somebody that jumped in and said Herm's after-game press conference was awesome. Was it the press conference?
I don't remember who the lady was that was interviewing him.
Yeah, it was the post-game interview, not the press conference, right?
Yeah, there was a post-game interview on the field, and it looked like for a minute he was going at her. He was like, y'all didn't want to come cover a 5-5 team, but baby, we gave you good TV. I was like, oh, Herm is getting into the business, man.
We love Herm Edwards. Holy mackerel.
We were so wrong when he got that job, and I'm happy that I was wrong because love the man. They're a lot of fun. I thought that something fishy might happen in this game strictly because he is too good of a coach to go and lose five games straight.
Oh, yeah.
And the fact that they were on this just weird losing streak was just so out of norm for everything his types of programs do.
Well, a lot of a lot of one-point loss kind of thing, like one-possession losses.
All of them were like weird games. Yeah, I mean, even the games where they weren't close, like, they were still weird games, and it just didn't seem right. It didn't fit right. And I thought, he's going to get somebody soon.
Yeah. No, so the stats in the game.
All game order.
Yeah. Stats in the game. Man, total yards for Arizona State, 535, 408 passing yards. I mean, they ate up that Oregon defense.
Defense don't look so great no more, brother.
No, you got that right. We got several people that jumped in. Of course, our buddy Larry Pilgrim, our Utah guy, he said Oregon screwed the Pac-12. Cristobal ran six plays again like he did against Auburn. That's kind of what it looked like. It looked like they had no idea what they were doing. Mike said, I still think Utah has a chance to get in. And then William said, you guys had previously mentioned how Oregon goes east-west to wear down for the fourth. ASU got the score when they needed it, though. And that's 100% right. They needed that last score. And Oregon did exactly what we have talked about in the past, where they kind of wear you down and set up kind of the same way that Gus Malzahn does, you know, other teams, where it's east-west, run the guys to death, and then an explosion, right? If you don't score.
The issue is they got down too early, I think.
Yeah.
They got down too big too early. That's what I meant.
Yeah, most certainly did. Jaden Daniels, whew, that kid was something else last night. 408 passing yards. I mean, he looked every bit the number two overall quarterback coming into last season. I mean, that's what he was. It's the highest ranked quarterback recruit for Arizona State in maybe ever. I mean, he was lights out. And
I can't think of anybody else that would have been that level.
I don't think so. I don't think that. I mean, obviously they've had some, like Blake Barnett transferring over to him, but he had already been at Alabama. I mean,
they're not talking number two overall player.
No, but a number two overall quarterback.
Quarterback, so, that's what I meant.
So yeah, this kid looked every bit of all of that, and this sets up, you know, for those that did not want it to happen, this sets up a way for Alabama to get into the college football playoff. Like, you needed something goofy like this. You still need Georgia to get beat. And, you know, we're not going to talk about it, but Alabama did look good without Tua yesterday. So, they were, of course, it's Western Carolina, it's whatever. But Mac Jones made some really good throws. Like, it wasn't dink and dunk and whatever. And that's what everybody wanted to see.
It was against air.
But, yeah. But you still wanted to see it, at least against air. So that's all I'm saying. I don't know that it happens, but what you needed to have happen to get in Alabama into the playoff, it's rolling that direction. So we'll see what happens next week, because I still think it's likely they get beat by Auburn. But
do you think if Bama beats Auburn, they're in over a one loss Utah or a one loss Baylor or a one loss Oklahoma? Because right now they're ranked ahead of all those teams.
I think they are. I think Utah.
All of those teams will have that one extra data point of the championship game, but other than that, will that be enough to jump Bama?
I think that they have shown that they do not like the Big 12 for whatever reason. So I think that Alabama could.
It's weird to me that they don't like the Big 12, but for some reason they really like the Pac-12.
Right.
And the Pac-12 is, I think, outside of the top two teams, far inferior to the Big 12.
Yeah, I think I kind of agree with that. I kind of agree with that. But now this is all going based on what we have seen. Let's see.
What else are we basing on, Gary?
Hold on. Mike jumps in. He said Alabama needs Baylor to win the Big 12 and Oregon to beat Utah. And I think that's probably right. I think they would put Oklahoma in over Alabama. I think they would put Utah in over Alabama. I don't think they would put Baylor. They have not liked Baylor. And I don't know what they're seeing that they don't like, but I mean, that's just going based on what we've seen them do from the rankings so far.
But right? In order for them to do that, they've got to just, I mean, Oklahoma has to jump Bama in that situation, though, because right now all of those teams are behind them.
Yeah. And that's, no, I think that they can, though, because obviously you said they've got that 13th data point.
They'll have the extra data point. Yeah.
Okay. So, let's see. Ghost Dog said Alabama will get the bump. Georgia can't beat LSU playing defense for four quarters.
My fear in that game, I've already got conspiracy theory, Chris, coming out that because I watched that Georgia A&M game last night.
Yeah,
I think Georgia's going to play as dirty as you can, and I think the refs aren't going to throw a single flag on them because the SEC wants two teams in, and they know for a fact if Georgia beats LSU in the SEC title game, they get two. If LSU beats Georgia, they might get two with Bama, but they don't know that, and that's the issue.
Well, I will say this. If you know, you're going to have the games between the Big 12 and the Pac-12 happening before the SEC championship game. So if there is some chicanery, then you would know going beforehand, like before the game starts. So I don't know. We'll see. We'll see. Let's see. Let's jump into the next game. We stayed on this one for a little while. Next game up.
Game of the night? Well, maybe not the best game of the night, but the other.
It was the most important as far as.
Most impactful game to the end result of the season.
Yes. Next one up, Ohio State 28, Penn State 17. Now, we have somebody, Mike jumped in. He said, I think Minnesota has a slim chance. No chance in the world Minnesota beats Ohio State. No chance. So we can we can get that out of here.
We're going to disagree on the no chance in the world. So
Look, you can disagree and you can be wrong, and that's fine. Minnesota is a fun team, and I have enjoyed rooting for them. I think there is no way. There is no way. This Ohio State game, the thing that turned the tide in this game, I think, was the difference in bringing in the backup quarterback for Penn State. I don't think Ohio State was ready for this at all. I think they were ready for Sean Clifford. When it came to the points of the game where it mattered, they were still able to make the plays to win the game. They still had opportunity to cover the 17.5 in this spot. You look at team stats. I mean, Penn State only had 227 yards.
That's Penn State football.
I understand that. But
hot drops.
And Ohio State had 417. They dominated the game. Mike jumped in. He said they shot themselves in the foot, but they completely dominated. Yeah, they dominated this football game. And, I mean, three turnovers for Ohio State to one for Penn State, which typically it's the other way around. Like, this was a weird, weird game. And you knew one of these was coming. But I will, you go ahead and say what you're going to talk about for next week's game. Like a Michigan and Penn State.
This is the first defense that Ohio State has played the entire year. It's the first time a team hit them in the mouth and tried to stop them and shut them down. They scored 14 points in the first half. They scored immediately after the second half when they got the ball. And then after that, they didn't score again until Penn State was making this thing a ball game and coming in close.
Yeah.
And they had mistakes. They had turnovers. This Penn State team is not close to the Michigan team defense. They're just not. They're good. They're not great. If Ohio State plays the way they've played in the last two games and Michigan plays the way they've played in the last four games, Michigan's going to beat them and it won't be pretty.
Yeah, I think I agree with you.
And Ohio State, I stand by my previous statement from last week. This Ohio State team does not scare me. I watched 2 weeks of them not looking dominant. Now, one team was against air, just complete air. And the other team was against a good team, but not a great team, at home on senior day. And this is the biggest crowd, the craziest thing. Game day's there. Fox is there. Everybody's there. This is the biggest game they got. And that was the best they showed up.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the caliber of talent that they've been playing all year has inflated the way we think of them. And when they finally played a defense and a team that's halfway decent to good, they just don't look impressive. They made mistakes like everybody else makes mistakes. They're not invincible. They're not unbeatable. this is probably the best thing that could have happened to Ohio State, is for them to realize, oh, we're not superhuman. Because before, I think they just think they're going to walk in and beat everybody by 40 because they've been able to.
Yeah, yeah. So
we got to figure it out, though, because next week's not going to be pretty.
No, it's not going to be easy at all. We had somebody jump in and say, what's the news on Justin Fields' hand? All right, Mike jumped in. He said, hand is fine, a slight ankle sprain.
Yeah, I was going to say. Yeah, and Fields should be fine.
Yeah, I think he's going to be fine. He's going to be good to go for next week. That won't be a problem. William says the Big Ten race is still open. I think Ohio State's wrapped up that side.
Yeah, Michigan's only got one conference loss.
So they got two conference losses. They got Wisconsin and Penn State.
Oh, they've all. You're right.
Big Ten East is locked up. You know, I mean, we'll see. Obviously, game day going to Minneapolis, Minnesota. That's fun, by the way. Yep. We were just talking about Minnesota. I don't think they got a shot against Ohio State, but they could easily beat Wisconsin right now. Wisconsin's not playing.
This is going to be a good. This is going to be a good game, I think.
Yeah, I think good on college game day for going to this game, like that's not right. Going to Ann Arbor. You know,
no.
This is good. I'm glad they're doing this. So It's good for PJ Fleck. Good for that program. Let's move on. Third topic of the morning. Oklahoma, just skating by. Oklahoma 28, TCU 24. This is after they go up 21-0 in this ball game.
This is the opposite of what happened last week.
Yes, and this is what they do. I mean, they were up big on Iowa State.
That's right. Iowa State came back on. I forgot about that. That's exactly how that game went.
The first down that was ruled in this ball game. Tell me your thoughts on it. I saw it after it happened.
I mean, it's everything I expect about, and I don't know that there's always conspiracies. I think these people are just really bad at their jobs. I do. It just seems to always go the way of the big mega program and never seems to go away of the little guy. I don't know how to explain that other than that.
I mean,
I really do try to always see things in the sense of, is this planned evil or is this incompetence? And I'm talking 99.9% of the time, it's just always stupidity. It's always incompetence. Nobody's trying to do something that bad that benefits one team or another, but it seems to all, I just can't find situations where the little guy, the little team, the lesser opponent gets the benefit of these bullcrap calls.
Yeah. I mean, we haven't seen it go against the big boys yet. And ever. I don't know that we ever will.
And it doesn't in any sport. This is not a college football problem. It isn't in any sport.
Mike asks a good question on YouTube. He said, I don't understand how Oklahoma can't put their foot on other teams' throats and end them. And that's it. Look.
When you don't play defense, you just have to. And I'm going to tell you this.
Well, it's not just defense, though. It's Jaylen when you turn the ball over.
I don't think Jaylen is going to New York anymore. I think he has lost his ability. He's got too many turnovers. He's reckless with the ball in the red zone far too many times. He is not a Heisman Trophy hopeful. He's just not.
No,
I don't think I've ever seen a Heisman be this sewn up at, you know, in the last 2-3 weeks of the season. But all the guys that were in contention with Burrow are gone. They're killing themselves.
Well, to be fair, I mean, Jalen Hurts, you know, the one interception, what was it, two fumbles?
Yeah, two fumbles and an interception all within like the 5-yard line, though.
Yeah. I mean, it definitely.
Those are scoring opportunities and you're losing the football on them.
Yeah. Jalen, as far as the season stats go, like he was only 11 of 21 yesterday. They only threw for 145 yards because.
That's Gary Patterson, sir.
Well, you can say that, but Gary Patterson's known for stopping the run. And Oklahoma ran for 366 yards on them.
Like, I get that. I'm going to tell you, Gary Patterson's a defensive coach. He doesn't just stop one or the other.
No, he takes away what you do best.
And what they do best is throw the football.
Mike jumps in and asks a question to you. He said, who's going to New York then?
Burrow, and I think he's going by himself.
He ain't going by himself. I think it's going to be Jalen Hurts, and I mean,
do you wheel two out there in a wheelchair?
Yeah, maybe.
That would be the worst optics they could ever do. But
well, no, by that point, no, he won't be in a wheelchair at that point. Like, he'll be able to walk around. So he'll be walking in a walker.
That'd be great. That'd be great. Got the little tennis balls on the bottom of it. That's exactly what we want to see. College football at its best, boys.
There you go.
Let's take something great and let's screw it up as royally possible as we can.
Let's see. William says, Kennedy Brooks is OU's safest weapon. Mike said, does a Buckeye go? If anybody, I would say probably Justin Fields.
I think so, too. I think Ohio State is pushing this Chase Young narrative. You need to be pushing Fields.
Yeah.
Fields, like, he doesn't have a shot. He's not going to win it. But he can at least represent your school.
Yeah, I agree. Our buddy Kenneth finally got into one. He said, good morning, guys. But you remember Kenneth had come in, I think, on one live show that we did last season at some point. And, yeah, he finally got in this morning. So some of you guys that are hopping in, obviously we've got several people watching on the live stream. Thank you guys so much. Of course, share the show out. We appreciate you guys for hopping in. This is always a good time whenever we do these recaps on Sunday mornings. Yeah. All right, so, yeah, for Heisman, I would push Fields. He doesn't have the stats to be able to keep up.
No, he's not going to win, but he's your best option to go and represent the school over a defensive player.
Yes.
Especially one that got suspended. So.
Yeah, and it wasn't necessarily, I mean, it was his fault, but it wasn't like.
Well, you know how I feel about this whole thing. So.
I know.
I don't have a problem with him getting paid, but. But now we're going to act like he paid the money back. No, he didn't. And then where the hell did he come up with $5,000? He doesn't have a job.
Yeah, or however much
it was. Really good job. I can't just walk outside and give five G's to somebody.
They want you to set up a payment plan, and you can pay it. Yeah. The whole thing.
Maybe $10 a week.
It's the James Wiseman thing. It's like, hey, pay the $11,500 to
$11,000. Where's the college kid get 11 G's at?
Well, so here's the thing. They set up a payment plan. He has to make the first payment, which I think only has to be like $250 as a sign of good faith. And then he can set it out over 4 years. Well, he's going to be an NBA player next year. So he'll be able to pay that no problem. But I mean, what happens if the charity that you pay back to,
he's not writing that check.
No, somebody else is going to write the check. But what happens if the money that comes, quote, from him, goes back to, like, the University of Memphis?
Yeah.
Like, into whatever charitable thing they've got going on with the school. Like, that.
Oh, it's not going to go to charity.
I'm just saying.
You go to the athletic department.
I'm just throwing it out there. Let's talk about the SEC.
Okay.
Georgia 19.
The SEC. Yeah. Well, this was a terrible day for the SEC.
Yeah, it kind of was. It kind of was. Everybody wants to crap on their FCS scheduling in week 13. Does it matter if it happens in week 5 as opposed to week 13? Like, I don't think so. But I will say this, they are moving away from it starting next season.
I know, that just means September is going to be worthless in the SEC, by the way.
Yeah, well, next September, you got Alabama, Georgia, and then next November, the last 2 weeks of the season in the SEC West, you've got LSU, Auburn.
Are they actually going to play in the regular season for the first time in like 30 years?
Yeah, I know, right? Well, wow. Hey, so Georgia, Texas A&M, this is the first time that these two had met since A&M joined the conference in 2012.
Oh, wow, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, first time they have played. That is absurd. Like, there's no reason to have.
We have to get away from the way we do scheduling in the SEC. It's so terrible.
Jimbo did say something interesting. He said that they are looking at going to three, like the pod system, three regular opponents, five rotating. And they obviously haven't talked much about this, but he said that, you know, they have been notified the conference is talking about it. So, yeah, that's interesting. But as far as the scheduling stuff goes, next year, the last week before rivalry week, you've got LSU, Auburn, Alabama, and is it Alabama A&M? I think that's right. LSU, Auburn, Alabama A&M, and then Alabama, Auburn, and then LSU A&M.
I knew that. So, the best thing Joe Oliva did at LSU and Les Miles did at LSU was push for LSU to finish the season with A&M. So every other year, they get to end the year in Texas recruiting. Yeah. And we've gotten a ton of kids from Texas by doing that.
Yeah.
One of the smartest things they've done in a long time.
Yeah. Kenneth jumped in and said, Bama played Biloxi Junior High yesterday. And then he said, well, I guess you can say LSU did too. So,
Hey, man.
Still a conference opponent. You can't change that.
You can't fault somebody for paying a conference opponent. We all have to play all the teams in the West.
Yeah. And sometimes they're just bad. And this year.
Yeah. I mean, all the Big Ten got to play Rutgers. We don't fault them for that. We just laugh at them when they do.
No, you're right about that.
And then we bet against them because they're going to cover.
Yeah. I couldn't believe LSU got the cover last night. Could not believe
it. We didn't get the cover. What are you talking about?
They won 56 to 20. Oh, it was only 36. That's right. It was 56 to 20. So it was 36.
I had LSU first half. I had LSU minus 42. It fall all the way to 42. And I had the under 69. And the damn end of the game busted all of it. I lost all three plays. I was so pissed off.
We have not even touched on the Georgia A&M game.
Okay, let's get into that game because that was a real football game. This was not. We didn't even have third stringers in. I think we let a water boy hand the ball off a couple of times.
Oh, yeah. At LSU, no problem there. You know, but Georgia did have problems with A&M.
Yeah, a lot of them.
Yeah. The only touchdown that Georgia scored was a travesty of officiating. That was the most, not the most egregious, but it's up there.
It's up there. I mean, it's up there because the official was 6 feet from him and nobody was between them and the official. It's not like, oh, there was a big offensive lineman blocking. I didn't see it.
Yeah.
Directly in front of him, the snap goes. The receiver immediately jumps out, grabs the DB's face mask, flings him behind him, and then takes off running.
Yeah.
And no flag, no nothing, wide open in the end zone for a touchdown.
Yeah, it was. Now, you I will.
Throw that football, Gary.
I will say this. I will say this. It was a beautiful throw from Jake Fromm.
To a wide open dude. He was playing against air.
Yeah. I mean, it's just. Yeah, Larry jumps in. He said A&M got no love from the refs. And that's true. Like, there were not
They're not going to.
No.
Georgia's going to get every call in the SEC games from here on out because that is the guaranteed – money rules all this stuff, and that is the guaranteed way to get two teams in.
Yeah, and that's the guaranteed way.
Because if Georgia loses that game, we're not getting two teams in no matter what.
Well
– no. Georgia would not beat LSU and have two losses and get in as a two-loss champion.
No, I agree. I agree there. But with Alabama still sitting at five, there's still the opportunity.
Maybe.
But that's a maybe. Yeah.
It's a guarantee.
Yeah. No, I think you're right. I think you're 100% right.
You know how the SEC does things, man.
You know,
we're like the FBI. We don't take risks.
There is chicanery there.
We only take a case unless it's a slam dunk.
So, yeah. I'm with you. Larry jumped in. He said, also smart play, Chris, on Utah. That wasn't Chris playing. That was me. I bet that Utah game.
That was one of Gary's two wins now. We can't take that away from
him. Don't be taking my two wins away. Let's see.
He needs those.
So
I didn't bet against him. I did, but it was late, and it was just because all the dogs were coming in late.
There you go. He said, I mean, Gary.
There you go. I'm sorry.
Total yards in this A&M Georgia game. 274 for A&M, 260 for Georgia. This was... almost like it to me. Obviously, I love defensive games. I think that the scheming that goes into them, it makes every play more intense because one busted play changes the whole thing,
which is what we got. One busted play changed the game,
right? And in this situation, I mean, A&M had negative 1 yard rushing on the day.
Yeah.
That is now, of course, that's obviously with sacks and everything else thrown in because it's done differently in college than the NFL. So
I hate the way we do sacks in college football.
Yeah.
It's wrong.
I did hit the under 44 in this game.
Yes. Well,
And it never got close.
Nobody busted 20.
Like this was an interesting game because I think that at this point in the season, Jimbo Fisher finally has this team looking the way that he wants them to. Have you seen?
They're not all young. I mean, we talked about how inexperienced this team was before the season started, and that was your worry with them, and you were right on that, by the way. they're not inexperienced anymore. They have played the biggest juggernaut of a schedule maybe in the history of college football.
Well, look, South Carolina also, you know, has to run through a lot of the same thing.
A lot of the same thing, but South Carolina didn't have LSU and who was the other team? There were two games. Oh, and didn't have Auburn.
Oh, that's okay. You got a very.
And they also had to go to Georgia, to LSU, and to Clemson. So three of those five games on the road.
Yeah, tough places to play.
Just insane gauntlet that they've gone through. But this team is battle tested. I told you this before the season started. I liked them this year. I might be a year early. I don't know what LSU or Bama are going to look like next year. I'm going to take A&M blind right now.
Well, obviously because we are you know talking about A&M right now. I told you before the season that I think that 2020 is the year.
You did. You said this is a year too early.
I want you to listen to their schedule next year. I'm going to run through it super fast.
Can't be worse than this year.
Abilene Christian.
I like it.
North Texas.
Okay.
Colorado at home.
Sweet.
Arkansas. At Mississippi State. Fresno State. At Auburn. That's it, you know.
The end of the year is going to be a business for them because that is a moonwalk.
Oh, hold on. It gets better. At South Carolina. Ole Miss. Vanderbilt is their cross opponent. And then to end the season, at Alabama, and then LSU at home. They will be 10-0. I would almost guarantee it. They will be. Now, obviously, they've got the game at Auburn, but I think they can win that one because Auburn loses all those defensive linemen, all the defensive playmakers.
They're going to be really good next year, too. Forget about how bad the schedule is.
Yeah.
They're going to be real. All these guys are coming back. They're not losing anybody.
That's A&M, yeah.
Hell of a football coach.
Yes. And so they will be 10-0 going to Alabama on November 21st next year.
I feel really good about my SEC pick for next year already.
Yeah.
I feel really good about that.
No, I can believe that. So in this game, A&M did have a turnover. It was costly. This game, Ghost Dog jumps in. He said Georgia has to fix their third down issue or the championship will get ugly soon. Third down efficiency, Georgia, you know, 5 out of 15. Not awful.
They just have to fix their offense. I don't know what the hell is wrong. They have talent. They have incredible talent on the offensive side. Their offensive line, their running backs, their quarterback is supposed to be all world, and they have some big athletic receivers. How in the hell they look so mediocre on offense every week? I don't get it.
I don't understand. I don't either.
What are we doing? This team should be putting up Alabama LSU numbers on offense. They should be, right?
Yeah. Well, they just play a different style of game. I mean,
why? College football's not going that way. Oh, I know why. Because Kirby's an idiot.
That's because Kirby is still running the Nick Saban 2012 Alabama offense.
Because he's an idiot?
We can say that. Yeah. Larry jumps in real quick. He said, biggest upset to me was Washington losing to Colorado. I would have guessed ASU winning before Colorado. Look, Colorado has Laviska Shenault. He is a...
He can change dynamite. Any game, anytime, yeah. And he won't be there next year, right?
And no, he's gone.
So A&M don't have to worry about him.
No, ain't got to worry about him. He's going to be a top 15 NFL draft pick. He is a stud.
Hey, can we talk about what I heard last night watching that Colorado Washington game?
Yeah, let's go on and talk about that.
Can we talk about this for a minute? Because I lost my mind on our group chat trying to figure out how did this happen. Surely I heard this wrong. Rewinded it three or four times. So Colorado is just handling Washington at this time. And so the announcers, I don't even know who the announcer was just telling stories. And he talked about how he was – the head coach for Colorado is like really good to his GAs, graduate assistants.
Yeah, Mel Tucker. Yeah.
Because he was a GA at Alabama, and he tells stories about how – he had to go as a GA. He was made to go pick up the coach's daughter and from school every day. And he had to get the showers started for the coaches. And then the announcer said that. And then he just moved on with the story. Like, that's normal freaking behavior for an adult male to have another guy get your shower started for you. So I'm thinking, well, you can't just say that on national TV and then just roll on like we all have somebody get our shower started for us.
Yeah.
My five-year-old, I get my shower started for my five-year-old because she's five. My eight-year-old, I don't have to do that because she's not a moron. I think Mel Tucker had to wash Saban's wrinkled old ass. I think that's part of the GA like response is how getting the shower started is he just has to shower these guys. Like, he wants a rub down.
This was when Saban was at Michigan State, by the way. So 97.
Who was the coach there?
Yeah. Yeah.
Who was this coach? And why has he got another guy that's obviously a 20-something-year-old dude getting showers started for adults?
Now, I have no idea.
I rewound it three times to make sure I didn't hear him wrong, and that's exactly what it is. If somebody has ever worked as a GA and has any are like Alabama showers so bad that you've got to like prime them and pump them to like get them going. I mean, we gotta heat the water up in like a boiling vat. I mean,
I could see somebody coming in starting the showers for like the team, right? Like you just got to run in and knock it out. But like, I don't know. But as far as what they were, Kenneth said, "Can you imagine what Saban's GAs are doing now?" Jesus.
Oh yeah, yeah. No.
Oh, that's fantastic.
It haunts my dreams.
Let's talk some Big 12, some more Big 12. Baylor 24, Texas 10, and man,
five lost football team.
Right, Texas, and Texas didn't score a touchdown until 4 seconds left in the game.
Tom Herman's an offensive genius.
Yeah, that was just an ugly game.
LSU might have gotten so lucky, so lucky. Sometimes, like, my mama used to always tell me when I was little, the biggest blessings are the things you didn't get, not the things that you got. And you know, this is one of those situations. I tried to tell Mississippi State guys that when they tried to get Pruitt and Pruitt was looking like a dumpster fire. Maybe I was wrong on that. Maybe they'd rather have Pruitt than Moorhead.
Yeah. But
this is one of those situations where the biggest blessing LSU ever could have got was maybe not getting the guy they wanted.
Yeah. They wanted Tom Herman. They didn't get him. Did you see Herman before the ball game, like headbutting, like guys with their helmets on?
Yeah,
I mean, it was just crazy.
I think he's pulling out all the stops. He's doing anything to get his guys fired up.
Yeah,
and hang on. If you're trying to do that to get your guys fired up, does he acknowledge? These guys aren't responding to me.
Like, that's kind of what it seemed like.
Like, I mean, that is a desperation move. That's something your strength and conditioning coach does. That is not what the head coach does.
Yeah. I mean, it was, yeah. I
couldn't understand. The year that he knew he was going to leave Houston, he did the weird thing where he, like, kissed all his players before the game.
Yeah.
And, like, you know you're leaving and you're putting your mouth on my face? Come on, dude.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. Baylor was able to capitalize off of Texas mistakes. And it wasn't like a ton of them. It wasn't just like, you know, turnover fest, whatever.
They just kept putting pressure on. This Baylor defense is up there as the best defense, one of the best defenses in the country. They're not getting the credit for it nationally that they deserve, but they are suffocating. They are swarming. When they are at full strength and healthy, you are not moving the football on them. Yeah. Texas's offense is really good. Sam Ellinger is a hell of a football player. He couldn't do anything.
I will say this, like, as far as running the football, like, the stats, you just look at the stats, and this is a close ball game. I mean, it was 391 total yards to 391 total yards. Texas had 191 rushing yards, only had 200 passing yards.
So I think you can run on them because they're so aggressive with the pass rush.
Yes.
Because you just run at the best way to break a blitz is to run at the blitz. And, you know, defensive guy goes this way, your guy goes this way, and if you miss him, he's got 20 yards before the safety gets there.
Well, Ellinger had 19 rushes for 79 yards, and that's what that was.
That's right. That's exactly what that was. He just ran at the blitz. Oh, shit, this guy's coming through untouched. Whoop, make him miss, and now I've got space.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
And if they don't miss, it's ugly. It is second and 18.
I will say this. Penalties, big part of this ball game. 5 penalties for 35 yards for Baylor, so nothing major. You know, it averaged 6 yards a penalty. Nothing.
They're a really well-coached football team. Who would have thought that they don't get a lot of penalties?
Texas, 9 penalties for 104 yards. When they got penalties, they were of the severe variety.
Well, their defense, their DBs, and we know this, their DBs can't cover anybody. And so when they got some of those pass interference calls, were good pass interference calls. I mean, if I don't PI this guy, this is six. And so I'm just going to tackle him. I'm just going to jerk his arm back. I mean, if I don't do that, he's gone because they can't cover anybody.
Yeah, you're right. So Texas, five losses. They got to beat Texas Tech next week in order to ensure a winning season.
That's, is Texas going to end up in the Liberty Bowl?
Maybe.
I hope so.
It'd be good for
please,
Memphis.
Please come to Memphis, boys. Bring that stank to Memphis. Come on.
I don't know how many of them you're going to hear from this go round. As many of them that gave you hell last year, told you that Texas would be undefeated before they would have another four-loss season, and now they got five before the end of the – I mean
– Woo! Well, they didn't have a four-loss season. They were right on that.
There you go. Mike, he said Texas going to a bowl. Yes, they're going to – they've got six wins.
Texas Tech is not going
to – Well, no, even if Texas Tech beats them, they're still going to a bowl. I mean, they got six wins, and everybody wants Texas.
Oh, that's right. They already got six. That's right.
Yeah, they already got six. So they're good on that. But, whew, man, that's they're 4-4 in conference.
Let me ask you an honest question. Okay, I'll quit dicking around for a minute. Is Herman in trouble?
Not yet.
Now, here's the other question. Is this job too big for him?
Yeah, that's a valid question. It might be. Like, I think there's still too many cooks in the kitchen there. There's too many guys that want to have their hands in that football program. And I thought he would be one of the coaches, one of the few in the country that would be able to
get off.
Yeah, that would be able to get rid of all of the riffraff, right? Like, get everybody out of the all the boosters and whatnot out of there, and he be the voice. And I think that they are, like... It appears to me that they are still running that program, and he is not able to, you know, take a firm control of it. Now, this has nothing to do necessarily with wins and losses, like on the field. Obviously, what's going on the field is his fault, but the atmosphere surrounding the program,
yes,
is a cesspool. Yeah. Like, it's just bad, and when you have a bad atmosphere, a bad vibe, it. Obviously, it's going to spill over into the games. And that's what's going on. And so, Mike said, I think Herman needs 2 years and take control with better assistants. I agree, Gary. Yeah, he needs to get rid of Todd Orlando yesterday.
Man, we thought Todd Orlando was going to be good before the season started.
Todd Orlando wasn't even good at Houston, though. Like, he was never good, like, with Houston, with Tom Herman. Like,
we always said it was because of the talent they had at Houston on defense.
Yeah.
Oh, now hang on. Let me ask you this question then.
All right.
Is this a Gene Chizik, Gus Malzahn situation where Gus got so upset with Gene because he took all the best athletes that got recruited at Auburn and put them on defense and wouldn't give Gus any athletes on offense? Is this the opposite where you got an offensive-minded coach? All these great athletes that play high school ball, they play both sides of the ball. Most of them just say athlete next to them, all right?
Yeah.
And he's just saying, I'm taking all of them, I'm putting them on offense. And Orlando's like, dude, I got no guys. I got nothing but like three stars over here on defense. You got five stars everywhere. Like, give me a couple dudes on defense. I mean, do you need them all? I mean, that was the headbutt between Chizik and Malzahn. Remember that?
Yeah, no, I do remember that.
Because they got too much damn talent in Texas. I mean, they walk outside, they get any kid they want.
I think they will be a little better next year. The only reason I say that is those guys that are young, we knew that this was going to be kind of a rebuilding year, right?
Will Orlando be back next year?
I don't think he will be. I think okay. That is you lose. Now,
will they be better? We just need to know who they're going to hire.
Yeah, well, yes, that's true, but I don't think it could be much worse. For I mean, obviously, you can have Charlie Strong years where you win four ball games, but
Dak Smith's looking for a job. You think he can coach up the defense?
Maybe. I don't think it could be any worse, honestly. So, yeah, it's this whole thing. They will be better next year because they will be more experienced. They have a ton.
Well, Sam will be better next year too. I think some of the mistakes he makes he'll get a lot better about that.
Yes.
He's still a hell of a quarterback.
Well, and the injury bug hit them like a ton of bricks this year. They won't have to deal with that as much.
Now, like, they're back. All those defensive players that got hurt earlier playing now.
Yeah, but they were all young guys. Like they just they don't have experience.
You're okay. All right, so they don't have the game reps because they missed a lot. Yeah. I'll give them that. I'll give you that. That makes sense.
That's Mike said everyone is stealing from Texas. No, Orlando is out. Kenneth said, how can the Texas defense be so bad with that talent? They're inexperienced, and they run a bad scheme. It's a terrible scheme.
I was gonna say A&M's inexperienced, and they just held a pretty damn good offense to 19 points, and one of those touchdowns was bullcrap.
So. Well, let's not go crazy and call Georgia a pretty good offense. All right, like that's not a pretty good offense.
If you're looking at talent, I'm not talking about scheme. Georgia is really good.
Well, yeah, talent wise, yes. And then William said, remember when Texas used to recruit running backs? Like,
oh yeah, dude, that was a long time ago.
That's been a long time ago. Let's jump into the ACC right quick. And I've only got a few more things to hit on before we hit our hour. Virginia Tech 28, Pitt nothing. Boom. Now I ain't spending long on this one, but man, Virginia Tech put the clamps down on Pittsburgh.
All right, early line for the Virginia Tech game. What you got?
I'm gonna say Virginia. I think this would be a pick 'em. I'm going to say Virginia minus 3 because it's at home. So,
oh my gosh. I was thinking Va Tech minus like 4 or 5 in that Vegas zone. A touchdown.
No way.
I think Va Tech beats her butt. I think Virginia Tech has figured this thing out. They have turned this season. Them and Michigan are the tale of two seasons like I've never seen before. I've never seen a team look so bad at a certain point early and then just flip a switch and then just start beating the hell out of people and not really making mistakes.
One of the best predictors for the spread is the Sagarin rating. So let's see. Virginia is 77.98. Virginia Tech is 76.83. So they have Virginia as basically a 1-point favorite, and that's without home field advantage.
That's without home field. So you might be right.
Yeah, home field advantage, he puts at 2.32. So if you got him at 1 and then you add the 2.32, I'm with 3 you. Points. So Virginia minus 3 at home I think will be the line. Obviously, Circa releases those early at 1 p.m. Central.
I know a bet I'll be making next week.
I could believe that. Let's see. We've got let me read some of these that are coming in. Larry said, Virginia Tech's coming on. Mike said, I agree, Gary. Sometimes coaches over scheme and don't let kids play fast and with instincts, just like Ohio State last year. Agreed with that. Mike said, Virginia Tech minus 3.5. Mike, we will disagree there. And William Brown said, Fuente is are also known as Dr. Jekyll. I think it was just over-exaggerated how bad the program was early in the season. Like, obviously, we looked at things and thought that they meant one thing, and that wasn't what it meant. And now, he did have to figure out that quarterback situation.
Yeah. And
man, once he figured it out, though, like, this team is playing gangbusters right now. They are let me read off the stats here.
They are the ACC. Clemson needs them to beat the crap out of Virginia.
Yes. They
just so they can get ranked, be up there, and have some kind of conference opponent this year. That's all they need.
Yes. Virginia Tech held Pittsburgh to 3 out of 15 on third down, held them to 177 total yards, only 60 yards rushing on 27 attempts. And that was only with one turnover. Virginia Tech held the football for 35 minutes in this game. I mean, it was a beatdown. It was 21-0 at the half.
That I thought we were going to get before the season started. They started the season with like 3 or 4 games looking like Pitt of old. Can't score, can't move the football. Then they went like on a 6-game run where they looked like Mike Leach took over their offense, and they were just points galore, airing it out, throwing it all over the place, and now they've gone back to, we're just going to ground and pound and slow the game down. Do they know what they want to be?
No.
This is weird to see this team go from like, all right, slow and boring. Nope, let's throw everything out. We got Central Florida coming in. We are breaking open a whole new playbook. And they did. And then they went on like 6-game tear where the offense looked fun to watch, capable and competent. And then they were just like, Virginia Tech's coming in. All right, we got to slow back down, guys. We got to go back to the 90s.
Well, they couldn't convert on third down. And when you can't do that, obviously you can't hold on to the football.
Yeah,
and
but some of that's because those third downs were convertible.
Yeah.
They just were boring. Let's run it up the gut and see if we can get it. No, break up with that weird, you know, that 2-point conversion play that you used that worked really good against UCF.
Yeah.
Let's do something innovative to try to get these 2 yards.
Hendon Hooker, the quarterback for Virginia Tech, by the way, had a 226.6 quarterback rating.
Is that good?
10 out of 13. That's pretty back to Larry David, right? Pretty good. 10 out of 13, 153 yards, 2 touchdowns, no picks. Kid was unbelievable. But what's crazy,
it's been good.
He only had to throw 13 times.
Well,
I mean, I'm floored.
They took my Mike Lombardi defensive philosophy and turned it to offense. Yeah, the best way to have a good quarterback rating is to not play quarterback. Don't throw the football.
You got that right. Complete the ones that you throw.
Yeah. And then just quit. Oh, I got 10 out of 13. We're not throwing it the rest of the day. I don't want to mess this average up.
No, you're right about that. Mike jumps in really quick. He said, speaking of Mike Leach, do you think he's on the hot seat? They did lose yesterday. No. Nah. No chance. Washington State will not get a coach nearly as good as him.
Mike Leach's biggest problem, and we in college football, if you've watched him long enough, you understand he'll never be able, being at the schools that he's been at, the two schools that he's ran, he'll never be able to be a year-in and year-out guy because they just don't recruit that kind of talent. He's one of those guys that every 2 to 3 years he'll be good because he's getting nothing but 2 and 3 stars up there, you know, a couple of transfers, and he got to develop them into what he wants them to be. Last year they lost a lot of dudes, so that means this year they weren't going to be good. Next year they'll be better than they are this year, but the year after that, look out, they'll probably be pretty dangerous. And that's just what happens when you can't get talent every year to replenish what you got. I mean, Northwestern's the same thing, right? Like, we talk about these schools that can compete sometime. I think Stanford's kind of becoming that, is every 2 to 3 years they'll have a really good team, but they're not going to be this every year we're going to finish in the top 10, top 15 anymore.
By the way, I was wrong on that. They won last night. I knew they won. I don't know why I said they lost. They won 54-53 over Oregon State.
Yeah.
Anybody that bet the under in that game, what are you thinking?
Well, what you got because
I mean, the total was like 76.5, but there was no chance that was ever going under.
No.
Washington State did win. Williams said that UCLA game broke their confidence. No, he's not on the hot seat because, I mean, Washington State 6-5. They're going to a bowl game. Like, if you can go to bowl games regularly at Washington State.
I think that's the standard there.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. They got a hell of a shot at the Apple Cup. They win 6 games and they beat Washington. That is a school that's their season. Now, we nationally, especially us two, love him. So we put him up on a pedestal a little higher than everybody else. But their real, true, you know, standards are 6-6, beat Washington.
Yeah. And to be fair, William jumped in. He said that UCLA game broke their confidence. That's 100% true. I think that killed that football team for a little while.
I don't know that it killed that team. It wasn't pretty. It wasn't good. But at the end of the day, they weren't good on defense no matter when the game was played. So
yeah, I mean, losing Tracy Clays did not help things. No. I will say this, when they lost that game to UCLA, that 67-63, you know, they were up 42-17, you know, midway through the third, whatever. When they lost that game, they did come back the next week and lose to Utah. They lost to Arizona State.
But they went on the road and played this Utah team that looks like gangbusters.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. In Arizona State, like losing that one on the road at the last minute, not a bad loss, but I think it did kind of kill him for a little bit. I think when you lose a game like that, it's tough to come back from. Mike does jump in, and this is the next topic on here. Let me write down my times here. Mike said, did Clay Helton keep his job by beating UCLA? That is a really interesting question because USC finishes 8-4 now. Their season is done. They have a bye week to end the season, which is kind of weird. I think it is very possible that they could keep him on for another season and not pay that ridiculously expensive buyout. I mean, I think his buyout's like $20 million. And that number may not be exactly right. But
they hire an AD before they make a decision on him, right?
Well, they already got the AD. They got Mike Bond from Cincinnati.
How'd I miss that?
It happened a couple weeks ago.
I guess I missed that.
Well, it's because they were talking about it.
Wow, that guy's a hell of an athletic director.
Yeah. So they
damn, Cincinnati lost their head basketball coach. They lost their AD.
They still got Fickell.
Well, right now.
Right now.
He finishes 12-1, they're not gonna have Fickell.
Well, it depends on what job's open, right? Like I still think that D'Antonio's leaving Michigan State at the end of the year, and I think that's a perfect spot for Fickell to jump to.
I don't know. I think the more I watch that, I don't think he's quitting. I don't think he's leaving.
You don't think so?
No.
Man, I don't know. Like, there's so much stuff going on. He's got that deposition after the season about the recruiting director.
I don't think he cares about any of that stuff.
I think he might be tired of it. But we'll see. We'll see what happens. So I think he retires at the end of the year, and, you know, we'll see. It's just trying to read the tea leaves. It's kind of tough to decide when a guy's going to when a guy's going to end his career, right?
That's right. This is a full man's game.
You got that right. Now let's kind of rapid fire through some of these. Michigan goes to Bloomington and whips up on Indiana 39-14. This was supposed to be a pretty close game. Indiana was without one of their most explosive wide receivers, I believe it was. You know, and the crazy thing about this, if you go back and look at the stats, Michigan like beat them through the air.
Yes.
I mean, just destroyed them through the air. They only had 87 yards rushing in this ballgame.
If you think the Michigan team that started the season is still who they are, you are a fool.
They threw for 366 yards on 32 attempts. That was 11.4 yards per pass. Shea Patterson looked good, man.
Receivers looked good. They made unbelievable catches in this game, some big plays on balls. Yeah. I watched a lot of this football game. It was 14-14 at one point in time, and I was like, dude, this is going to be a ball game. My Michigan bet's not coming in. And then it was 21-14, then it was 28-14. And so I got off the game for a second, got back, and it was like 40-something to 14.
Well, 39-14. But yeah,
whatever. And I was just like, wow, what?
Yeah,
what
third quarter, they demolished them. Scored 18 points unanswered in the third quarter. And then the fourth quarter was
incredible.
Yes, 100%. Ramsey, you know, for Indiana, 17 out of 29 for 217 yards, no touchdowns, one pick. They were only able to run for 97 yards on 37 carries. And that's with a long of 12, and another guy had a 12, or a long of 17, and another guy had a long of 12. I mean, this was not good for Indiana. So, 9 win Indiana, no longer. That ain't happening. But, you know, I mean, Indiana still got a chance for 8 wins. And then I think they can get against Purdue. Williams said, Michigan this year shows why teams shouldn't listen to the media. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Rapid fire as we're doing this. SMU loses at Navy 35-28. So if Memphis gets beat by Cincinnati,
Navy
will go to – now, I think they still have one more game that they got to win.
No, they got the Army-Navy game after the – the championship game.
That's not until
after the championship game.
They play at Houston this coming week. So they have to beat Houston.
They got a bye week because of the extra game at the end of the season.
Yeah, but the extra game at the end of the season is on December 14th. Like, it's the week after championship week.
I know. That's what I said. I thought they had a bye week before championship week because they play that extra game. Maybe I'm wrong. Okay.
No, I'm wrong. They play at Houston at 6 p.m. on ESPN2 this coming Saturday.
Okay.
So, but they have to win that one. But if they do, if Memphis loses to Cincinnati at home, Navy would go to the AAC championship game. Now, I don't know if the AAC wants that. I mean, that...
they want that over a rematch in a type of championship game? That's the question, because that's their two options right now.
Yeah. I don't know, because Navy got blasted by Notre Dame, and Navy will not be the Group of Five participant in the New Year's Six. That's not happening.
But I'm going to tell you this. I think Cincinnati handles Navy. If they play Navy, I think they handle them.
Yeah.
The Cincinnati football team is really good when they're healthy and all together. They're really good.
No, they definitely are.
Ohio State got them. Their quarterback went out early in the second quarter, and that they had no chance.
Talking about the SMU-Navy game, Navy, at the end of this ball game, there were a couple of calls that went for the Cadets. And obviously, this was played in Annapolis, so, you know, you're going to get the hometown bump.
Right.
But, man, SMU, this game went about as we predicted it. Navy held the ball for 40 minutes to only 20 minutes for SMU. Navy ran the ball for 378 yards on 73 carries.
That's Navy football. That's exactly what Navy football is.
Yes. Yes. Just unbelievable stuff. This was a fascinating game. Navy had to score 15 points in the fourth quarter to win this game. And, I mean, they looked good. They looked really good.
I just couldn't figure out a defense to stop them.
Yeah. I mean, it's just they don't have the dudes. And no. they got a good running defense. SMU has all season. They've been the top 25 rushing defense. But
it's just, well, I think but a lot it's of a difference. They don't play a lot of teams that run the football, though.
Well, they don't play a bunch of teams that run a triple option. And well, a triple option is different than a rushing attack.
They don't. Not a lot of teams in the American right now are running the football.
No, you're right. You're right about that.
We're pretty right. wide open past the football conference now.
Yeah. No, you're right about that. Tennessee wins 24-20.
Boom.
And we called this. Now, at Missouri scoring 20 points was kind of unexpected because Tennessee's defense has been playing really well, and Missouri's offense could not score on air for the past, 3 weeks.
This is Missouri coming back, though. I don't think Missouri scored. I think this game looks totally different if Missouri doesn't get down pretty good the way they did.
I didn't know that they got down.
Yeah, I think they were down by 10 or 14. Hang on, let me try to see if I can find
that. I'm pulling up the box score now.
Of course.
Let's see. They were only down 17-10, and they came back to tie it.
For some reason, I thought it was it got more.
Yeah, it was 3-0 Missouri, 7-3 Tennessee, 10-7 Missouri, 14-10. I'm looking.
Oh, that's right. I'm missing the first quarter. I was looking at the scoring plays, and I was like, I got Tennessee, I got Missouri, I got Tennessee, I got Tennessee. And I forgot the field goal at the first quarter. Got it.
Yeah. So at Tennessee, good on them. They are 6-5 with a game against just a woeful Vanderbilt team left. Sorry. Tennessee could end up 7-5 after starting 0-2.
Going bowling, baby.
That is the fact that they are now going bowling is awesome.
Can you get a better Liberty Bowl than Tennessee, Texas?
I think Tennessee ends up in a better spot than that.
Two massive fan bases that coming to Memphis, Tennessee would obviously sell the place. It'd be just a lot of weird shades of orange and
that's
a whole
what
lot
I was about
UT.
To say. A lot of orange there.
A lot of UTs and a lot of weird shades of orange.
Yeah. That's yeah,
I think
it'd
the
be
bowl
fun.
Game we want. Come on to Memphis.
I'm
awesome.
I'm good with that. I'd be all in on that one for sure. Finally, let's see. That we'll close out with this. Question from Larry Pilgrim. He said, "All right, Chris, who you got winning the Pac-12? Utah or Oregon?"
I've been on Oregon all year. I don't know why I get off that train. I also think the loss helps Oregon better. Utah beat the hell out of Arizona. But they're just not a good team. They don't have a good win on the season.
Yeah.
I mean, neither does Oregon, by the way. But
I mean, Oregon's got that win over USC. If that matters.
You're right. They've got the only win against an 8-win team.
Yeah. So unbelievable. All right. That's going to wrap up our Week 13 college football reaction and recap. You guys have been awesome. Thank you for jumping in on the live show. A bunch of comments. You guys are fantastic.
Appreciate it, guys. This is fun.
Oh, yeah. Of course, again, on Tuesday night, around, 7:30?
Yeah. We try to get going about 7:30. I mean,
7:30 Central.
Here, man. Oh, you don't. Hey, the wife's not in town, right? She's going to be gone?
She'll be gone.
Come early.
Hey, you know what? I can do that. Let's say 7 then. That gives me enough.
Because the college, they come out with the thing at 6.
Yep, and that gives me time to get everything set up too.
Yeah, so let's do it at 7.
Let's do 7 p.m. Central Time, God's time zone, of course. For those of you that are not in the right spot,
not in the Lord's time, then get right with the Lord. Come on,
do it. So if you are listening on the podcast, make sure that you leave a nice review and hit subscribe over at Apple Podcast. We're everywhere else as well, Spotify, Google Podcasts, et cetera. Whatever your favorite podcast app is, we are there. You can find everything else over at winningcureseverything.com, all of our videos, everything else. go and if you're on YouTube, hit that subscribe button, hit that like button for the video, and leave some comments after this thing goes and publishes once we get done with the live stream. But hit that like button and leave us some comments. Share the show out. Tell your buddies about it. And make sure that you go and check out TunicaTravel.com. Tunica, Mississippi is the South's premier sports gambling destination. They got six incredible sports books. Chris and I will vouch for all of them. They are all a good time. Tunica, a great place to go down and enjoy yourself a little gambling.
I'll be spending some time there around Thanksgiving holiday.
Oh, absolutely. So if you are coming into town for whatever reason, hit us up. You know, we might like to come down and shake your hand, meet you, tell everybody we appreciate you. So, yeah, let's jump out of here. Let's go and check out some NFL football, and we will see you guys again live on Tuesday night. Thanks for checking out Winning Cures Everything. If you want to keep up with us, hit subscribe on YouTube or your favorite podcast app. Visit the website at winningcureseverything.com, or you can like us on Facebook or follow us at Winning Cures, at Gary WCE, or at Chris B. Giannini on Twitter. Share out the show, leave a nice review, and make sure to comment and tweet at us.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.